This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. Israel bombed the home of Hamas's chief in Gaza early Sunday, and the Islamist group fired rocket barrages at Tel Aviv as hostilities stretched into another day with no sign of abating. At least three Palestinians were killed in Israeli airstrikes across the coastal enclave, according to health officials, and many were injured as the sounds of heavy bombardment roared through the night. Israeli, he said, dashed for bomb shelters as sirens warning of incoming rocket fire blared in Tel Aviv and its suburbs. Around 10 people were injured while running for shelters, according to medics. At least 148 people have been killed in Gaza since the violence began Monday, including 41 children, according to health officials. Israel has reported 10 dead, including two children. Envoys from the United States, United Nations, and Egypt were working to restore calm, but have yet to show any signs of progress. The UN Security Council was due to meet later Sunday to discuss the worst outbreak of Israeli-Palestinian violence in years. Both Israel and Hamas have insisted they will continue their cross-border fire. Pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets in the United States and cities like Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Atlanta, and other U.S. cities on Saturday to demand an end to Israeli airstrikes over the Gaza Strip. Thousands of people shut down traffic on a major thoroughfare in West Los Angeles as they marched 2 miles from outside the federal building to the Israeli consulate. The protesters waved signs that said Free Palestine and shouted, Long live Intifada or Uprising. This is VOA News. Police are reaching out to villagers in northern India to investigate the recovery of bodies buried in shallow sand graves or washing up on the riverbanks, prompting speculation on social media that they were the remains of COVID-19 victims. In jeeps and boats, the police use portable loudspeakers with microphones asking people not to dispose of bodies in rivers, saying that we are here to help you perform the last rites. The U.S. and British embassies in Myanmar expressed concern Saturday about reports of fierce government attacks on a town in a western Chin state where martial law was declared Thursday because of armed resistance by opponents of military rule. Saturday's fighting began around 6 in the morning when government troops who had been reinforced by helicopters began shelling the western part of the town of Mendat, destroying several homes, according to a spokesman of the Chinlin Defense Force. It's a locally formed militia group opposed to the army's February takeover that ousted the elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi. Britain has sent public health officials backed by the army to distribute coronavirus tests door-to-door in two northern England towns to contain a fast-spreading variant that threatens the country's lockdown easing plans. Cases of a variant first identified in India have more than doubled in a week in Britain. Government scientific advisors say the variant is likely to be even more transmissible than the UK's dominant strain, though it's unclear by how much. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson has warned that the variant could be a serious disruption to the progress. He said the next stage of reopening the economy would take place as planned on Monday, but warned that the variant might delay plans to lift all restrictions on June 21st. Thousands of young people and college students have been at the forefront of Colombia's anti-government protests for more than 2 weeks, armed with improvised shields made from garbage cans and umbrellas. They have taken the brunt of the tear gas and gunshots from security forces, and dozens have paid with their lives. The young men and women have become the voices for Colombians fed up with the government they say has mismanaged the coronavirus pandemic and crushed hopes of a better future. And thousands of retired black professional football players, their families and supporters are demanding an end to the controversial use of race norming to determine which players are eligible for payouts in the NFL's $1 billion settlement of brain injury claims the system's experts say is discriminatory. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.